Thank you. Beautiful music. We appreciate that. The first time I went on a short-term mission trip, that was a big thing with me. I went down, had grown up in the flatlands of West Alabama, and I got on the first plane I ever went on and went down to South America, got in the a Jeep, a missionary's Jeep, and went over the Andes Mountains on what was later termed by National Geographic as one of the top 10 most dangerous roads in the world. And it was quite an experience. You know, when you are sitting in the back of a Jeep and you can just kind of lean back like that and look down 1 mile or half a mile down a rock face of the Andes, and just clinging to a one-lane road just on the side, just clinging to the side of mountains going around like this, it is quite an experience. And so the trip was something. But when I got down there and saw missionaries that had given their lives to serving on the other side of the Andes Mountains in northeastern Bolivia, where the people were coming down out of the highlands and clearing the jungle and starting farms and trying to survive out there in the jungle. And the Corsons and Caulfields were down there, and it was missionaries from North Alabama that were down there. It really did something to me. It stirred my soul. And I had had a faith, a deep faith in God, but God did something with my spirit. God did something when I saw the missionaries down there loving the people and caring for the people and serving them and giving their whole lives and raising their children down there and not good health care and having to start a school for the children and having to have a hospital for the people down there to help them out just a little bit. It stirred my soul. I didn't realize what was going on as much, but later I took a group from West Alabama, the West Alabama Cooperative Ministry around Millport, and and we went down to the Dominican Republic. And down in the Dominican Republic, we had some of the most wonderful experiences building a school down there and the people worshiping and being filled with the Spirit. And on the way back in the airplane, one of my friends at he was a golf buddy of mine. He was 6'5" on one foot and 6'2" on the other foot. Thin as a rail and big old deep voice, just a big-hearted person. And he said to me, "Robert, we've got to do something when we get home. We've got to have that same kind of attitude that this Spirit is here and that we can transform this world. We can transform Millport. We can bring people to Christ. We can build things. We can do what God wants us to do." He was so fired up, I thought he was going to jump out of the airplane. He was just, and I began to realize that when you really are stirred by the Spirit in your service, when you're stirred by the Spirit in seeing inspiring examples of God's work and God's will in the world, it does something to you deep down. It gives you a spiritual growth and enthusiasm that you haven't had before. And so I always tried to take short-term mission trips to missionaries' places, and it would get them fired up for the gospel, get them fired up for prayer, and it was a mission education thing. And then we began to have GICs in different places. And this is a wonderful thing because it's not just the 10 or 12 people that go on the mission trip, but it's the whole church that can see the inspiring mission of God, what's going on in the world, what's happening with these people that are giving their lives to be a part of God's kingdom. And you can be inspired. Everybody can be inspired. I was thinking about the people that are in China with the radio stations and how persecution occurred in China. And many of them are in house churches. And the only connection that they might have from week to week with other Christians is on those radio stations. And they were talking about 5 million contacts one year from the radio, the series of radio stations that they had around there. How amazing is that? That they can reach that many people. The thing about this is the Spirit is moving in this world. maybe we don't see it as much in the United States right now. We may be in a little bit of a lull right here for faith in the United States. But the Spirit is moving all over the world. The Spirit is not going to rest. God is going to do what He needs to do in this world. And the spread of Christianity and the spread of the goodness of God is never going to be put out, because He is going to do His work in this world. And so now we're getting partnerships together, and churches can have these partnerships with all these missionaries and see them. Other churches are starting a partnership with one missionary or one ministry out there, and they're seeing what God can do in the world. Now, here's what I started thinking. Why is it that I get so spiritually stirred up, so spiritually challenged, empowered, filled with life? I'm filled with more enthusiasm when I see Christianity on the ground in Nigeria, in the Dominican Republic, in Central and South America. Why is it that I do that? And I believe it's because the people there have very little, and so they have to fully depend on God. The people have so little that they have to really commit themselves to Him and walk with Him every day. And when they walk with God and they walk with the Spirit of God, then they're filled with that joy. They're filled with that enthusiastic spirituality that is so exciting when you see it and you go to the third world, when you go to another country. They are loving God. They're caring about God. They are filled with the Spirit. They're doing it when there's very little things that they have in their life. Maybe that's the reason they can get there. We have too many things standing in our way. We've got television and we've got cell phones. We've got all these things. And we've forgotten how to walk with God. But you see, that may be the very purpose of our lives, is to get to that point where we're depending on Him and walking with Him every day. When God created us, He created Adam and Eve. And He came to the Garden of Eden. You remember that story? And He was walking in the cool of the evening. And he said, Adam, where are you? Adam, where are you? And I believe from that he had a habit of coming in the evening when it was cool and walking with Adam and Eve and being in the garden with them. And that was the purpose of creation. The purpose of us being alive today, the purpose of our spirit, of our consciousness, is that He was moving over the face of the waters and He was lonely. One interpretation of that word, moving over the face of the waters, is that He was brooding over the face of the waters. James Weldon Johnson, the great African-American poet that put some of the old gospel sermons into poetic form, in the poem Creation, said, God looked out across the waters and He said, I'm lonely, I'll make me a man. I'm lonely, I'll make me a man. And He made us for the very purpose of relating to Him, for the very purpose of walking with Him in the cool of the evening, walking with Him and loving Him and having His Spirit within us. And when we do that, then we're in right relationship with God, and so many things occur. John, the 15th chapter, talks about that. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And so one of the words that says here, remain, in the King James Version, it says abide. Abide in me and I will abide in you. That says something to me deeper than just remain. It means stay connected. Stay connected to God like the branch stays connected to the vine. And when the branch stays connected to the vine, it can put out green leaves and fruitfulness, and it will bear much fruit. But if it doesn't stay connected, it can't bear much fruit. And I think that's what I've experienced in the Dominican Republic, in Central America, in South America, in Nigeria. I've experienced people that have remained connected to the vine. They are abiding in God. The power of the Holy Spirit is living in them, and they are bearing much fruit. It's not as bearing as much fruit as giving, which is some fruitfulness that we have, like giving to the GIC, but it's bearing much fruit in joyful and enthusiastic Christianity. And I look at the denomination today, all the denominations, and I think we've majored in Scripture and doctrine. That's good. That's great. But there's something else out there. There's an enthusiastic spirituality. There's people that give up things so that they can feel the Spirit of God. There are sacraments that we can do. There is a mystical sense that God is there, and we have to reach out to Him and open our heart to Him and lead Him and guide Him into our souls and guide Him into our lives. And that's what I feel. That's what I feel when I go to the mission field, where people have been persecuted, where they've been killed for the gospel of Jesus Christ in Nigeria, and the people are enthusiastic. They're on the soles of their feet so they can worship. They're happy to be in church. They're loving everybody. They're caring about it and having fun. They have fun with North Americans when you go over there. So I went over there for the first time, and we were going to build a school, been asked to build a school in Karimondi, Nigeria, kind of the northeastern part of Nigeria. And they had asked me, what do you like, and all this kind of thing. And I told them that I was a hunter. I like to hunt. And so I was going to be presented to the king of the Karimondi, which is what they call the chief now. He was the chief of the tribe, and they call him the king. And they said, okay, today, put your best clothes on. We're going to go meet the king. And he was dressed in his robes like I had on the other night. And he was on a little platform, and everybody was seated lower than he was. And they presented me to the king, and he came up and shook my hand and welcomed me to the Karimondi. It was a very impressive ceremony. And he said, I hear that you're a hunter. And I said, yes, I am. And he said, well, we have good hunters too, and they have captured a wild goose. And I want to present this wild goose to you, and you take it back to the United States with you. And so they handed me this wild goose, big old wild goose about this big with a red head. And it had thorns, it had spurs on its wings about this long. Look it up. So I grabbed the goose, and the old thing flapped its wings at me, and red head, turned around and looked at me like this. And he said, I want you to take this back to the United States with me. I could picture me trying to put that in a coop and take it through three flights and land in Atlanta and get it through customs and take it back to Hartselle, Alabama at the time. I could just picture myself doing that. And so I thought he was just kidding. And they loaded it up in the car, and we took it back to the house with us where we were staying. And we didn't have time to cook it. So we were there, and he handed me this goose. And I said, well, what's the name of this goose? And nobody said anything. Somebody hummed over on the side, and they all laughed. And I said, what's the name of the goose? And somebody said, mmm. They all said, mmm, that's what we call this goose. That's the Hausa word for this goose, is mmm, like this. I said, thank you very much. So we took it back to the house and didn't have time to cook it, but the district superintendent, I understand, came the next day and ate it. And that's the only time a DS has literally cooked my goose. But I left it there, and I went back, and I got in the Atlanta airport, and I was filling out my thing to get back in the United States. And it said, have you been on a farm? And I checked, yes. Have you had livestock? I said, I checked, yes. And so they put baggies on my feet. You know, they wrapped me in plastic, you know, all my baggage and everything. And I went around by agricultural clearing, because I'd been on a farm. So he said, okay, what kind of farm were you on? I said, well, they had geese, and they had chickens, and they had pigs, and they had goats, and cows were all over the place, and they were growing this and growing that. He said, okay, all right. I said, it's just subsistence agriculture. He said, well, what kind of livestock did you handle? I said, I handled a wild goose. The guy went, oh, why did I have to be on the desk today? This crazy guy from Alabama, gone to Central Africa and handled a wild goose. And he said, well, what was the name of the goose? I said, mmm. He said, no, what was the name of the goose? I said, mmm. That's what they called it. That's the only name I know. He said, just go on. I'm not going to play with you. Just that sense of joy, that sense of life. You understand what I'm saying? Enthusiasm. There's a spirituality of enthusiasm. And we keep ours reined in. We keep our enthusiasm for the gospel reined in. We don't want to look like we're not real formal or something like that. And whatever it takes, catch that. Catch that sense of walking with God. Catch that sense of depending on Jesus. You don't have anything else, so you've got to depend on Jesus. Can you catch that sense? Is there something you can do? Maybe you can fast one day a week like John Wesley used to do from noon on Thursday to noon on Friday. I used to do that, and what I'm doing now is I'm trying to fast my electronics from 8 p.m. to 8 a.m. That has done me more good than anything else in the world for my walk with God. That I don't have something in my face all the time, and I can open my heart to Him. And I can see His presence, and I can know His life. Study the doctrines. Pray the Scriptures. Don't just study the Scriptures, but pray them. Do whatever it takes. Open your heart to seeing an angel. Open your heart to seeing a mystical experience of God and Him coming and doing something in your lives. Open your minds and hearts to miracles. And the Spirit and the power of God. Take communion every time that you can. Think all these things through so that God can speak to your heart and speak to your life. Do whatever you have to do to abide in God so that you can bear much fruit. So that you can bear the fruit of the Spirit of love and joy and peace and kindness and patience and goodness and self-control. Do whatever you have to do to be a true disciple of Jesus Christ by walking in God's commands and walking in the love of God. The purpose of all this was to walk with God in the cool of the evening. The purpose of all of this was to stay connected in all these things. You need to make a habit of looking for God. And habits only change when you make a new habit. Obstinate habits do not disappear. This is Carl Jung, a psychologist that built spirituality into his psychology. Obstinate habits do not disappear until replaced by other habits. Habits are won by exercise and appropriate education. No amount of confession or education can make plants grow straight. It must be trained on the trellis by the gardener's art, trained on the trellis of another habit. Find a habit of praise. Find a habit of praying the Scriptures. Find a habit of fasting something in your lives. I look back on all of the people that have gone with me on the mission field. One is a federal judge now, Lyles Burke from Arab, went with us through CFAT down to South America, to Ecuador, on a medical mission team down there. And he was truly affected by that mission trip. He was really affected by that. He's been put on the federal bench here in North Alabama and is quite a Christian, quite a disciple of Jesus Christ. But if you continue to find a goodness of God in your life, then you will bear much fruit. Now, here's the thing. There's a saying that the quote came out some time ago. We cannot continue to erect a constantly expanding structure of social activism on a constantly diminishing foundation of faith. Absolutely true. But I want to tell you something else. You can't keep building your lives with more and more things and put them on a constantly diminishing foundation of the Spirit. You can't build your lives on a continually shaky, more and more shaky and small foundation of the power of God in your life. You've got to depend on Him. You've got to find Him. Walk with Him. Find that Spirit. Find that power. Pray every day. Search for God every day. Silence and solitude, whatever it takes. We were down in the Dominican Republic, and there was a young man down there about 24 years old. And we were building a school, working hard all day. He'd work all day and go home, put his one good pair of pants on and shirt, and come back to church that night. We had church every night. And after church, we were sitting on the porch looking out across the Caribbean, just a tiny little hotel, filthy hotel, you know, just one of those ramshackle places, but a beautiful view of the Caribbean beach across there. Palm trees and cool breeze, and he came and sat with us. And he had a little English and I had a little Spanish. And I said, Natan, I understand you've got coffee plants up in the mountains and that you need to be up there, you know, with those coffee plants. He said, that's okay. He said, I'm going to be with the group. I'm going to serve God as long as y'all are here, and then I'll go and try to take care of my coffee plants. And I said, well, but maybe just go up there one day just to check on him. I was trying to take care of the boy. And he said, it's okay. He said, I'm not making any money anyway. I've got to pay my laborers this amount, and I've got to pay this for transportation, and I only get this amount for my beans. And we figured out it was 100 pounds of beans. They paid him what we pay for 1 pound of coffee in the stores. 100 pounds of his beans equal 1 pound of coffee in the stores. And so I said, in my North American way, I'd seen these Haitians that had come over the border and they were starving to death, you know, and people would pay them a half a peso a day for anything that they wanted them to do. I said, well, why don't you take some of those Haitians up there and cut your labor costs and all this? And he looked at me with shock in his eyes. And he said, I do hire Haitians, but I pay them all equally. And he began to tell me the story, the parable of the laborers in the vineyard, where some laborers came early in the morning, some came in the middle of the day and late in the day. And he said, I pay them all the same because they're all children of God. And he shamed me. And he taught me what it was to be a disciple when it cost you something. He taught me what it was to walk with God when it hurt you. And I determined that day that I was going to be as good a disciple as that 24-year-old Dominican kid. I was going to be as good a Christian as a pastor as that 24-year-old Dominican kid was. And I look at that and I say, if you walk with God, you'll bear fruit. I don't know what happened to Natan, but it's beside the point whether he made any money or not. He was going to walk with Jesus. I look at that and I say, do we want to bear fruit in this kingdom? Do we want to walk with God? There's a faith promise thing here, the faith promise card, and that can be fruitfulness that you are fulfilling in your life, that you are bearing fruit from your walk with God. And it may be today that your commitment is to give to God and your commitment is to walk more closely with Him every day, so that you bear fruit of supporting these missionaries, praying for them every day, loving them, caring for them, volunteering for the ones in the neighborhoods around here that you can touch and you can be with, supporting them with sending them letters, sending them care packages, whatever it takes. Walk with Jesus, bear fruit in the kingdom of God. Let's go to God in prayer. Father in heaven, we pray that you would help us to actively partner with the missionaries on the front lines for the people, with the people that have given themselves and are sacrificing themselves and their families and their time and energy to bear fruit in the kingdom of God. Allow us to be the body of Christ today. In the name of Jesus, amen.